So in John chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 22 to 34. On the next day, the crowd remained on the other side of the lake, saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with the disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always."
Thanks so much, Chris, and thanks so much for having me here to speak this lunchtime. It's a great treat to be here with you all. Now, I've got here in my pocket a banknote. I'm not sure how long these are going to be still in circulation after the coronation. Now, I guess we all know that they build in security features into the banknotes. So, you know, there's this see-through window here. I can just about see Chris's face through the window there. Now, just imagine for a minute. I know this one might be hard for you to imagine. Imagine you were paid cash at work. I know, you know, bank accounts and everything now, that's unlikely. But imagine that you were paid cash every day and you had a fortune stored up, having worked every day, piles and piles of cash at home with these banknotes. And then you go to spend one and you discover that it's a fake. In fact, all the notes that you have piled up are fakes. All that you had worked for, absolutely worthless. It really matters, we know, that we have the real deal. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus, it matters, we know we have the real Jesus, that we know what he's really about. Because Jesus calls us to shape our lives around him, to serve him in costly ways. In our Bible passage today, Jesus wants the crowds that he's addressing to be crystal clear about who he is and why he has come into the world, even if it drives them away. This crowd, they come with false expectations of Jesus. And I guess that's a bit like people in our world today. Although our society, it's increasingly hostile to God, people still have expectations about God and what he would do for them. Maybe the conversation goes a bit like this. "Well, if there is a God, I guess he should make my life a little bit better. But, you know, I guess God must want me to do a few religious good works for him. But if God's there, he's got to prove himself to me if I'm going to have anything to do with him in a way that satisfies me. Show me a sign." Well, this lunchtime, we're going to compare the real Jesus with the crowd's expectations of Jesus, or what I'll call the fakes. They say in Trading Standards that to spot a fake, you need to know the real deal well. Well, let's see the real Jesus, and as we do, I hope it will help us treasure him, to stick with him. I hope this passage encourages you to press on in gospel partnership because you have the real deal in Jesus. So we're going to first look at what Jesus has actually come to do and then compare it to the fakes. Our first point, which is on your handouts, seek the food that lasts. Seek the food that lasts. Now, we dive into John chapter 6, the day after the famous, miraculous feeding of the 5,000 by Jesus. 5,000 men were fed, but it's more like 20,000 people when you count the women and children. Look back down with me at verse 24 in your Bibles. Verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea, they saw that there had been only one boat there and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Some of the crowd from the day before, they've lost track of Jesus. Now, they seem to get that Jesus is someone special. In verse 15, they identify him as the prophet come into the world, a great leader who the Jewish people had been waiting for. This is the guy promised for over 1,000 years. No wonder this crowd want to track Jesus down. This is the guy we need to lead us, to feed us. I don't know if you can imagine the chat that would have been going on in their WhatsApp group. Have you seen him? Detective emoji. No sign of him over here. Imagine an Israelite family live streaming their search on their phones. And then, verse 25, they find Jesus. Verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Surely this is a great moment. Surely Jesus would love people seeking him. But immediately, Jesus exposes their motives. Verse 26, look back down with me. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Jesus exposes why they are seeking him. They're here because they are hungry. Not because they have understood from the feeding miracle who Jesus is. Jesus then urges them to seek after what he has come to give. Verse 27, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Jesus urges the crowd to seek after the food that endures to eternal life. We see in verse 35, Jesus himself is that food. Jesus is the bread of life. Well, how does Jesus' food compare to what the crowd seek? Well, Jesus is offering food that endures to eternal life. Eternal life here, it speaks of both the quantity and the quality of this food. Quantity. Just think for a minute about eternity. Imagine for a minute that this part of this ribbon represents our lifetimes here on earth. Well, the crowd are seeking after food that is for this part of the thread, food that will keep them alive in the here and now. But then just think about eternity, the food that endures. It's for, you know, the rest of the ribbon that keeps going and going and going. I could keep unrolling it, and we could stretch it out, a never-ending ribbon. What Jesus offers is for this part, not for this vanishingly small part. Jesus' food lasts. It won't run out. It won't perish. With food, you always need more, but Jesus' food, it will not perish. It has no sell-by date. It's lasting. Let's think about quality. Jesus' life is not life that continues, but it's just a bit naff. You know when you sort of spread out butter on toast? You know, Jesus isn't talking about spreading the same life out so it forms an ever thinner layer. No, Jesus' life, eternal life, it's good life, it's real life, enjoyable life. Jesus says later in John's Gospel, in John 17, verse 3, that eternal life is that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is coming to truly know God, to have good life with God, our Creator, the source of all good things. And Jesus provides this eternal life as a gift. Verse 27, the Son of Man gives it to them. This life is given by Jesus. It doesn't depend on us. Yes, Jesus says seek after it, labor for it, but we don't earn it. Labor shows us how worthwhile, how good this life is. Pursue it, get it at all costs. You must have this free life from Jesus. People invest their time in so many things that are perishing, things that don't last. Just think of all the skyscrapers in the city that take years to plan, to build. They cost millions, thousands of hours to plan them, thousands of hours poured into building them. But then they get knocked down a few years later, flattened, forgotten. Do not labor for what perishes, but for the food Jesus offers that endures to eternal life. The food Jesus offers is so much better than what the crowd seeks. But it isn't just better, it's the food that the crowd needs. Why do the crowd need this life? Well, the food that the crowd eat perishes. They will eventually die. We need to eat, but food only keeps us alive for this life. Jesus, he's offering them life that they do not have, life that lasts. He's talking about a rescue. Jesus has come to rescue us because of our rebellion against God and the judgment we're facing. Jesus' rescue is from death for relationship with God that begins now and will continue, having life that lasts beyond death in a new world that God makes. But it's not a physical rescue in this world. Okay, so we've seen the real deal, but what about the fakes? We've said that the crowd has a different agenda to Jesus. What is it that the crowd who represent our world today want Jesus to do? Well, our second point, reject the fake Jesuses. We see Jesus expose three fakes, three things the crowd want him to do that aren't what he is about. Now, we know that they're fakes because of how Jesus responds. He has to correct them. And we know that they're fakes because of where the crowd end up by the end of this chapter, away from Jesus, rejecting him, not receiving what he offers. All these three fakes, they have something in common. They want Jesus to do things in the here and now, in this world, things that will not last. Their agendas, they're focused on themselves. They're about meeting felt needs now, about meeting our desires now, getting Jesus to fit into their mold. They're about Jesus doing things for them right here, right now. And the same is true in our world today. Each of these demands of the crowd, they have parallels in what people expect God to do for them or to be about. Now, we don't have time to look at any of them in great depth, but we'll briefly see what the fakes are and how they compare to the real deal. We've actually already seen the first in verses 26 and 27. Firstly, reject the feed me now, Jesus. Look down with me again at verse 26 and the start of 27. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes." Jesus says the crowd are seeking him because they wanted him to feed them now. They wanted a Jesus who would meet their material needs now. Now, if ever there was a moment in Jesus' ministry on earth to fix global hunger, this would have been it. It matters that we eat each day, and alleviating global poverty, that would be a wonderful thing. But that isn't what Jesus primarily entered into this world to achieve. His rescue, it's not about material prosperity now. Jesus, he's offering you, offering your colleagues something so much better than making their life a bit nicer now. He offers food that endures to eternal life, not material things now that will perish. The second fake that we see, reject the religious Jesus. Now, when Jesus says, labor for the food that endures to eternal life, what does this crowd say in response? Well, let's pick up the conversation from verse 28. When the crowd reply, then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Their response, it seems to focus in on the laboring part of Jesus' answer in verse 27. What must we do to be doing the works of God? It seems they've misunderstood that Jesus will give this bread that endures to eternal life. Now, is it that they haven't understood what Jesus has said? Or is this how people always respond to God? I mean, how could God possibly give us something so good? I must have to do something. I must have to earn my way with God. Or do they really think they can earn it? As if there's anything we could do to earn eternal life. But Jesus says in verse 29, he's come to freely give life. Verse 29, Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Jesus, he's been sent into the world to achieve a great rescue that people participate in by receiving the gift he offers. Jesus isn't interested in religion, in ceremonies, in feasts or rituals. Religion, it is demoralizing. It is enslaving. Jesus' offer is freeing and life-giving. The third fake, reject the signs and wonders, Jesus. Let's pick up the conversation with the crowd in verse 30. Do look back down with me. Verse 30, so they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." I don't know if you find the crowd's response here a little bit puzzling. Given that they were part of the crowd Jesus miraculously fed yesterday, either they are incredibly forgetful, or they wanted more proof, or they wanted Jesus to do something even more spectacular, something greater than Moses. Now, in the Old Testament, Moses was one of the great leaders of God's people. He led them in the wilderness for 40 years. And during that time, God sent down bread from heaven each day called manna because there was no food. Well, this crowd, they've had one meal from Jesus, and now they want something more. Well, whichever of those three things the crowd is thinking, Jesus said that what he did yesterday, the miraculous feeding, that was just the signpost. Now the real, better food to which that sign pointed, now that food is here. Verse 32, let's pick the conversation up. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sign time is over, says Jesus. I'm now giving the real bread, not food that will perish. Jesus has given the sign that points to the real rescue that he is here to bring. More signs, they aren't needed. Now is the time to receive Jesus' eternal life. Our world, it can't expect Jesus to dance to its tune. Maybe your colleague says to you, if God would just do this sign for me, then I'd believe. It sounds so reasonable, doesn't it? But God doing those signs for them, it won't lead them to receiving Jesus' eternal life, because it didn't for this crowd back then. We've had the signs. Now we need to receive Jesus' eternal life. So can you see what all these three fakes have in common? They're coming to Jesus on our terms, wanting him to act right here, right now, focused on this world, making my life better, dancing to my tune, religion on my terms. But Jesus, he's a rescuer. He's stepped into this world to give the food that endures to eternal life. I want you to imagine for a minute that you were on a sinking ship. The boat, it's slowly falling under the water in the middle of an icy cold ocean. You aren't going to survive for long. There's a group of you huddled on the ship's hull, shivering. And then, in the distance, you see a lifeboat. A man shouts down from the boat, "Get in!" It's an easy jump down to safety, to freedom, to life. But just imagine then, one of those on the deck there with you shouts down to the guy, "Do you have any sandwiches? We're hungry up here." "No, wait, he's saying, just be good, be nice to one another, and the ship won't sink." Someone else shouts down, "Prove yourself, show to us that you can sail that lifeboat. Give us stuff, do some religion, prove yourself." But Jesus, he is like the man on that lifeboat. And the agendas of this world are like the agendas of people on that ship. Jesus, he stepped into this world to bring about a rescue, to offer life that lasts. Our world, it needs rescuing even more than the people on that sinking ship. It matters we get Jesus' agenda, or we end up missing out on Jesus completely. Jesus' agenda, it's so much better than our world's. But it's hard sticking with Jesus' agenda because it's not the agenda that our world has. Our world either thinks it doesn't need rescuing or it wants Jesus to do smaller things focused on this world, things that will ultimately perish. But remember what Jesus says. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life that the Son of Man will give to you. If you haven't received this food from Jesus, please receive it. Well, as we saw at the start, it matters we know we have the real Jesus, not a fake. Because Jesus calls us to invest our time, our energy, our money, to shape our priorities, to shape those things all around him. Well, if you're believing in this Jesus, the giver of this eternal life, you have made the right decision. You aren't pouring your time into a dead end, what perishes. In Jesus, you have what lasts. You're investing in what lasts. So stick with Jesus. Allow me to pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus freely gives the food that endures to eternal life, lasting food that is of the best quality. Thank you that he rescues us. Thank you that we can be sure we have the real deal in Jesus. Grant us graciousness as we speak to others about Jesus, that they may have the life he offers. And we pray in his name. Amen.